We've gotten up to a quarter inch of snowfall here so far this morning. May add another, you know, tenth to a quarter inch on top of that. Some of us may actually get to an inch total, but that's going to be pretty isolated here today. And not much in the way of wind, so at least some good news there. But the wind chills are still going to be in the single digits here during the daylight hours. We'll have skies clear out. The winds will die back. We'll have an overnight low of minus 7. But any wind that we get, regardless of how light, is going to push our wind chills under 10 below here overnight tonight. For tomorrow, some improvement. We'll have a high of 24 degrees with, for the most part, a light south breeze, occasionally gusty conditions. And then for Wednesday, look for sunny skies as the warm-up continues and a high of 36.
All right, we peaked at 13 yesterday, overnight low down to 6. Right now it is calm. Cloudy with some intermittent light snow and 11 degrees, a wind chill of plus one here, KVOE live. And local, it is 8:29. Good morning.
It's all about your health, your good health. Food, drink, exercise, recipes, all sprinkled with common sense. Welcome to the KVOE studios. Emporia State Health and Human Performance Professor, Dr. Jennifer Thomas.
And we need to add fermentation to that list on the opening there. Dr. Jen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am warm. Now that I made it inside.
Inside, yeah. How's your winter going?
Oh, it's going. It's going okay. Classes started a week ago, and the students all seemed positive and ready to be there, so that's always nice. You kind of feed off of that, so... So far, so good. And the Chiefs are still in it.
They're still in it, yeah. Playing for another AFC championship. That's good.
Yep, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. So, and I know that you're gearing up for the final Laps for Landon fundraiser coming up here in just a couple of months, huh?
Yes, we are. On that first day of classes, I went ahead and posted the Facebook page, yeah. And because I've had a lot of people that kind of knew and asking about it. And so April 22nd, it's a Tuesday, as always, but a little later because of just how the calendar fell, and a little later than some past years, but... we're looking forward to it. We're going to try to make it one heck of a last hurrah. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and for people that are wondering, well, why is this the last one? Landon is still with us. But
yes.
He'll be graduating high school, though.
He is graduating high school, and he is he wants to be an engineer. Fancy pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he is going to go to K-State. And so I told people, I'm like, he's going there, you know, and kind of moving on. And that's wonderful. We prayed all along that he would, you know, get to graduate high school and get to experience college. Yeah. So this is just a huge step for him. But we're going to have one last big celebration. And I know the whole family's very excited.
Should be. Well, and you'll keep us abreast of all the things, and there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, yes, I will keep you up to date on all the details.
All right, Dr. Jennifer Thomas in with us here, and fermented foods. What a topic we have picked out for this month here, Dr. Jen.
I thought so. I get asked about these a lot. You hear more and more people talking about these because they are interesting. let's word it that way. They are very interesting. There's such a big variety, I guess, of foods to choose from that are fermented. And, you know, they're very good for you, especially this time of year when we are all kind of higher risk of illness. They can kind of help you. They can be kind of an added defense mechanism, like for your immune system, but really just for your whole body. So I was telling you before we went on the air, I was like, let's focus on some of the good ones that maybe aren't going to make people turn their radio off. But fermented foods, it says scientists have defined those because I'm thinking some people probably don't know. It's those made through desired microbial growth and enzymatic conversions of food components. These foods are not new. They've been around for thousands of years. And then it does say, and this is, I absolutely love this because, you know, I love Greek yogurt. I've mentioned it many times. We've talked about it. It says, let's look at yogurt. That is a fermented food made from milk. So during yogurt fermentation, lactic acid producing bacteria grow on the sugar and the other nutrients in the milk. As they multiply, the bacteria produce compounds that change the flavor, texture, and nutrients in the milk to give us what we know as yogurt. So, and a lot of people, when you talk about prebiotics, probiotics, you know, the good bacteria, and that's from fermentation. Yogurt is what they first think of, or maybe, you know, what they already consume that they know has them. So that's some good news right there. If you like yogurt, some people hate it. So there are other options as well, and we'll get to those here in a minute. But underneath that, it's a, and the handouts, have those been posted?
They will be this morning.
Will be. Okay. Yep. So I really encourage people to go to the KVOE website and download those, print them off, download them to your phone, whatever. But it says the value is, again, they're a source of live, active microbes, so that good gut bacteria. And again, we've talked about that on
before.
Yeah. Can improve the taste, texture, and digestibility of our food. So again, helping our digestive system there. It can increase concentrations of vitamins and bioactive compounds in foods. It can remove and reduce toxic substances or anti-nutrients that are sometimes found in raw foods. It inhibits pathogens and food spoilage. And so that's something that some people kind of know salt as the very first preservative that would kind of ferment and preserve a lot of your meats, you know, when you go back back in history. Most of us have never had to do that, but that kept it from spoiling. So that is one big advantage of fermenting, is it does lock in nutrients and it keeps those foods from going bad. And then that last one, it may benefit human health by reducing risk for some acute and chronic diseases, which that's obviously a selling point, you know, for a lot of people, especially if they're at high risk for certain things. So underneath that, it says, depending on the food, certain types of bacteria, yeasts, and or molds carry out the fermentation. Ingredients, like we just said, such as salt may be added, and temperature and time will be manipulated to get the desired end product. The fermentation microbes are still alive when we eat yogurt. I think you say that. Kefir is how you say that, kefir, cheeses, kimchi, and some other fermented foods. But some foods that undergo fermentation are further processed by things like pasteurization, baking, filtering, and are no longer sources of live microbes. That doesn't mean they're not good for you. It's just they don't have kind of all that live good stuff that we want getting into our internal gut, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there, I hope everybody feels a little bit more educated.
How about that?
Now, yeah. But and, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, on this handout too, you've got the fermentation retention of live fermentation microbes, and then fermented, but the microbes are killed or removed
in the process.
And it's kind of interesting to see that list.
Yeah, that list on the left where you said that that they're fermented and they retain the live microbes, those are the ideal ones. However, as you look at that list, a lot of people with a lot of those are probably like, what in the world?
What the heck?
Kimchi, tempeh is how you say that.
Netto.
You know? So some of these are very cultural. When you look at like the tempeh, that's an Indonesian dish that's they deep fry fermented soybeans. I've never had that. I would be willing to try it, though. The natto is a Japanese dish of fermented soybeans that have a sticky, stringy texture. And so these are very, very common foods eaten within those cultures. But here, if you eat those, you're probably somewhere where you are purposely trying to eat, you know, a food that's kind of outside the norm of our culture.
Yeah.
So they're very good options. But again, some people, miso, some people have had like like miso soup if you go, you know, to certain Japanese restaurants or a lot of your Asian cuisine, that they'll serve that. So that might not be completely unheard of. Yeah. But and then I brought you this morning a little sip of something there, the kombucha.
Yeah, and it tasted good.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot of flavor going on there.
You said there's a lot going on there. Yes, there is. Flavor you mentioned as one, and it's also kind of my kids, when they were little, when they would drink something carbonated, would say it's spicy. You know, it's just kind of got that kind of kick to it, yeah. I guess. But your kombuchas are fermented teas or juices, sometimes a mixture of the two, and they are full of the good, those live microbes, that good bacteria. You do want to ease into consuming kombucha. That is not something you want to just, I'm going to buy a bottle and chug it. And
yeah, chug it.
You will not have many friends that want to be around you or family. Your gut has to have time to adjust to that good bacteria being in there, consuming the bad bacteria. And yeah, you want to ease into that. You will thank me for that advice at some point. Anyone out there that decides, I'm going to try kombucha. So it does wonderful things, but you need to take your time.
And that's available here locally?
Oh, yes. Pick it up here? Yep. Okay. All the grocery stores locally have that.
Okay, gotcha.
And then I want to clarify, because the last one on that really good list says, I love this, some beers. Yes. Some beers. And so my headphones, I can't.
Can you hear
I'm getting you? Nothing, but I can I can hear you through here. So,
let's see. Is it plugged in over
there? I don't know. It's okay. There we go. There we go. I can hear it now.
Okay.
Yep. But the some beers is a little – that's a little broad. But ginger beer. And so I don't know how many people have ever tried that, but that is the main one. And I think there are other beers that do have go through the fermentation process. But ginger beer is kind of the top dog when it comes to if you're trying to, you know, you're wanting to have something socially or whatever. If you consume that, you're actually doing something good for your health and for your gut. And so the ginger beer.
Healthy beer.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And the nice thing about ginger beer, it's come a long way the last few years. They do make they make different flavors, and they're good. I mean, they're pretty tasty. So I'm picky when it comes to that kind of stuff, and I have found some of those that I enjoy.
Okay.
So, all right. And then the ones, that list that you referred to that said fermented, but the fermentation process, microbes killed or removed, again, those are still – they're still some of those are still – good for us. There's still some benefits there. And I'm going to pick on the one that a lot of people might know about and like, and that is sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
Sourdough bread. It is still very, very good for you. But obviously you have to bake it. You have to bake the dough when you make it. And, so, yeah, it does kill some of those, but in terms of digestion and our digestive systems, that's the big selling point for sourdough, is our bodies digest it. It's much more, it's just a natural thing, and we've talked repeatedly on here, and it's come into the light these last few months about just how bad some of our packaged kind of grocery store type foods are for us. And bread is really at the top of that list just because of how it's made, what it's made with. And so when it comes to bread, sourdough, especially obviously if it's homemade, you know, right out of the oven, is really, really good for you and really, really gut friendly. So
sourdough.
Yeah.
Good.
I sometimes feel like I'm the only person out here who doesn't make their own sourdough, but it's on my list of things to do to learn. But I know a lot of people that do make it, and they're willing to sell it or give it to you. So that's kind of nice too. So, but yeah, that's kind of the main handout. The one that has the jars at the top that says the benefits, at the top there, it really just nutshells a lot of of what we just said. But I thought some people might like to have that one because it does break down some of those, like the tempeh that we were just talking about.
Well, and the sourdough, and then let's get to the good stuff here.
Okay.
The good stuff, like pickles.
Pickles. That is one.
A lot of people make their own pickles.
A lot of people make their own, and a lot of people do like pickles, and you know, to snack on, crunchy, salty, all of that. And so, yeah, pickles are, and there's a lot of other things. You know, when you look at something like beets, some people like pickled beets. And that is also a type of fermentation. But the thing with pickling, and I was reading a little bit about this before we went on the air, when you pickle, you put that food into an acidic brine. Some people either don't like or just have a hard time handling, you know, with things like heartburn, they have a hard time handling that acid. And so fermenting is just sometimes not as acidic. So kind of a selling point there, but absolutely, pickles are good. And then I am going to throw out, and I know some people are going to, oh, gross, but this is kind of a divisive food. You either love it or hate it, but I love sauerkraut.
I love sauerkraut, too. You know, there is such a huge difference between store-bought sauerkraut and homemade sauerkraut. I mean, there is not a lot that they have in common. Let's just put it this way, as far as taste goes.
Yes.
Anyway, because the homemade sauerkraut that I know my parents made.
Yes.
Absolutely delicious. you know, some of the stuff you buy in the store, not quite to that level.
No. No, and it does sit there in the jar, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's still good for you. There's still some health benefits to it. But yeah, if you can get the real deal, the homemade stuff, Darren and Leslie at Doobie's, they would throw me under the bus and be like, "She loves Reubens." When I treat myself there, I get their Reuben, and I'm like, "Load up the sauerkraut because it is so good. It's rich in vitamin A, B, C, and K, and there's not a lot of foods out there where they're high in that many of the kind of the main vitamins. And so that's obviously a selling point. What else does it say? That is so tiny, but
It really is.
It's easier to see
transcribe
in color
that
too.
For me.
Yeah. So when people look at them online and they're in color, but yeah, if you like sauerkraut, you eat it on the regular, you're doing your gut a big favor there. It's low in calories, but that's that fermented cabbage. And again, it's been around forever. So this is not a new, you know, health topic. This is certainly not a new trend, but they're just getting more attention that they probably should have been getting for a long time. They're just getting some attention, not just from quote health nuts, and I say that with love, but for people out there who, again, are starting to become aware of just how toxic our quote fake food, you know, a lot of that manufactured grocery store food is, and they're kind of wanting to get back to the basics and back to just food in its natural state. And again, this is a natural kind of process that those foods are put through in order to make it last. But also, like I said, to lock in those vitamins, those minerals, just lock in all that nutrition for us.
Yeah, sauerkraut, outstanding. And it says here in your handout, too, sauerkraut in soup. Boy, it's been a long time since I've had, you know, a soup with sauerkraut in it, but
I don't know that I ever have.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to try it, though.
yeah. I think it probably would be good.
Yeah.
It would be good. But, yeah, you're talking about relish, even some relishes out there.
Yeah, relish is on there. The seasonings, you know, they say sea salt and cayenne pepper and paprika. So there's some seasonings where apparently they go through fermentation, you know, before they're dried and given to us, you know, to put on our food. So that's kind of another, like, easy, you know, easy thing if you can add those to some dishes.
Yeah, we'll get these posted and, you know, log on to the Dr. Jen page, KVOE.com. Interesting, reads here with all this. And, of course, we're always learning here when Dr. Jen makes her visit. That is for sure. So, and if you have any questions or ideas for topics you would like Dr. Jen to cover, please let us know here. And we'll do our best to make sure that that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. Open to ideas, especially for February. You know, heart health's kind of the the go-to.
It is in February, yeah.
But that's broad, and so maybe even if there's something specific to that that somebody wants us to discuss, let us know.
You know, I've really had to be on the low sodium aspect of things.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, salt really tastes good.
It does. It makes things taste good. It makes things last.
You know, but you walk down the stores, you know, the aisles, the stores, and you start checking, you know, the sodium level of everything. It is just amazing how loaded some of these foods are with sodium. It's like, my gosh.
It is in everything. And a lot of that is for the shelf life, you know, and to keep it from spoiling. It's kind of a preservative, you know, but it's also a taste, you know, they think it makes it taste better. So yeah, the low salt, low sodium way of eating, it's hard, especially in our country. It's
so what, difficult. So what about, maybe we can do something on salt substitutes? I mean, are there good ones out there, better ones, you know, because, you know, tell you what, if you don't use salt, things tend to be pretty doggone bland.
They do.
Taste-wise.
And, yeah, we could talk about that because there's also, they've known for, I think it was back in 2006, the first study came out that I don't want to make anybody mad out there, but you can, if you do take in more salt than you know you should, let's put it that way. Yeah. I'm not encouraging anyone, but most of us do. And I work with college students. They keep a food journal and they go to look at their salt, their sodium intake, and they're like, I'm going to die. They just are like, this is awful, you know?
Yeah, those numbers are huge.
Oh, yeah. Because you're supposed to have it between 2,000 and 3,000 milligrams, I think, a day. And a lot of my students are at 7 or 8. Yeah. I'm not kidding. And so, but if you want to increase your potassium intake, and when you increase your potassium intake through foods, supplements, whatever, it can offset the damage done by the sodium. So that might be something good that we can break down some good news.
Yeah, good idea.
Where, you know, as opposed to me being the evil woman that just says don't eat salt. So, because that's much easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, even some of the, you know, packaged rice that I'm looking at, unless it's just a bland, plain white rice, I mean, it's just, I don't know, you shake your head thinking, what isn't?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my wife did buy some sodium-free tomato soup. Worst thing ever. Ever. Tasted terrible. I mean, awful.
Right. Yeah.
It's like not even close to being good, you know. And I like tomato soup, but no.
Right. Yeah. And then and then you go, well, what can I put in it? Well, that's going to have sodium. Yeah. So it's tricky.
It is. Well, good stuff as always, Dr. Jen. I appreciate it. And thanks for the taste there.
The kombucha sample.
Well, and I was wondering, you know, she has this cup, this big bottle here, and she poured me like, you know, a thimble full.
I did. I poured you not even a shot glass full. And again, you'll thank me. So
good. I was wondering, said that during the program.
Well,
okay, that's the reason.
I know. And I wanted to bring, normally at home and at work, I have the little bathroom cups, the little white ones that are like for a sample size. And I wanted to bring one of those. We were completely out. And I'm like, all I have are these solo cups. Yeah. But there was no way I was going to pour you more because you would be angry at me by the end of the hour.
I was thinking when you poured. You're getting kind of stingy.
Just being stingy
with it.
Yeah. No. That is why I am trying to, because if you are not used to it, you don't want to drink a whole lot. So you're welcome.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back in February here, Dr. Jen. We appreciate it. Stay warm out there.
I'm going to try. Thanks so much.
All right. Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Health and Human Performance Professor, Emporia State, with a monthly visit here. KVOE Live and Local. It's 8:51.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Trump and Melania Trump departing St. John's